We're going to presume quorum, and we're going to start. So let's first start with introductions, and then we're going to go with an icebreaker. But if we do introductions first, the icebreaker is actually, maybe we do them both at the same time. If you introduce yourself, and what compels you to be here, other than sort of being strong-armed, and sort of why here, and what value do you see in this group? And I'll start. I'm Mike Schreiner. I'm a co-chair. And what compels me is I remember the Planning Council before we ever had a requirement ever for representation for people living with HIV. And I remember that when we created community planning, we specifically built that into the guidance because a couple of us that created community planning were positive and thought that HIV positive people had a role. And so my absence in the last year was because just adjusting my schedule with finishing up the Grove. What compels him to be here is that I want to make the investment. We're really making this work however we want to construct it for this year, but that's what compels me to be here. Oh, Charles says we can't go that way, so we have to go. He said it first.
All right. My name is Ken Pierce. I'm on the council. I'm an at-large member steering. My reasons for being, I'm also the council or the EMA is representative on the California Planning Group. My reasons for being here, and especially for being here, is commitment to the council. I have the dubious distinction of being the oldest member at 69 and the longest serving.
Oh yeah.
And the longest serving at 20, consecutively serving at 20 years now. And
did you do Lord's record?
My skill set is, as you're probably all sick of hearing, is as a person who was diagnosed in 85 with HIV, came down with AIDS in 95, quit working, and at the time I quit working, I was a hospital administrator and running mental health programs. And my sense, or my focus is, at this point, really around HIV and aging. And that's where I'm putting a lot of pressure on the state level for them to look at, and for us to look at, too, just sorting out what data we keep so we get more concise information about ages other than just saying anybody 55 and older, which I don't think does it. I looked at some of our statistics that we got at the last meeting and found that the group 45 and older represents 70%, according to this, and it's an aging group. So I think it's on our behalf to start a better focus on the concomitant health problems and issues that come up as we age and as we move through certain steps. Like at 65, when you've got Medicare, it suddenly opens up new resources that should be coordinated. Enough said.
Well said. David Jordan, council staff. So, as a non-HIV person, HIV positive person, who is here ostensibly as for my job, I still have a dedication, a personal dedication to. The idea that if you're making policy that for specific communities, then that community should be represented, regardless of its HIV or race-based or gender-based, whatever. And so, on a real basic level, this is represents a core value for me. So, and then again, it is also my job to help foster this process.
Melina Clark, council staff.
Ron Ennis, council member. I've been a member since 2012, and I came on board at a time when I had this decades-long bout with addiction, and I was really one of the severe needs populations that we categorize. And when I heard about the council at the time I was accessing these services that really saved my life. And so I wanted to find some kind of, you know, a sense of community where I was leaving the crazy lifestyle of, you know, being gay and HIV positive to something where it was a bit more constructive and responsible. And so, yeah, that's what got me interested in coming. And I still feel like I do speak for those who are in a severe needs segment of our work, especially mental health, substance abuse, and homelessness.
He won't admit it, but I've known him for many years.
Sorry, you referred him to the mental health.
He's the one who got me in trouble.
I'm Kevin Hutchcroft with HIV Health Services. Been involved in one way or another since the mid-80s. HIV positive since 88. Here's an interesting anecdote. In 87, I authored co-authored the first HIV prevention education law in Oklahoma. And in 88, I zero converted myself. So it didn't work out too well. Lost a partner in 95. And been involved in the Oklahoma State Department of Health. Department of Public Health is AIDS director, and landed here in San Francisco. It's what I do. Wasn't what I intended, but here we are.
Hi, my name is Charles Saran. Personally living with AIDS. I came in, I think, after Ken. So I'm here. We didn't have people living HIV caucus in the council at that time. And we decided, some people decided that we need to open it up to the public and also let the public come in. And good way and a bad way, but as we went along, we found policies and made policies, which manual policy of the council back then, it was the Ryan White Council, 5 years. And I'm here because back then we had no voice, and I'm here now because silence still equals that.
Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Mark Longo, council staff.
What brings you here? What compels you to be here other than this being a
job? Mike Shriver compels me to be here.
That's the best green.
And how about our public? Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, CJ Peoples, long-term survivor, and the reason why I am here is that I want to see what you guys do. You know, I've been doing a lot of stuff on my own, and I'm at a place in my life where I'm using more services and really dealing with aging and HIV. There's not enough in this city. I still converted here. And you know, I want to bring my voice.
Thank you. How did you hear about the meeting, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
My buddy John.
John, introduce yourself.
My name is Mr. Abraham, and I'm here. I'm here because all the other meetings were canceled, and this is the first meeting. And what compels me to be here is to find a way to abolish this group permanently and to effect some kind of a change where meeting together is maybe not as collegial as what I've seen here today, but I'll exchange that any day for being effective, because in the first place, to be effective, you have to show up. And more than 80% of the meetings last year were canceled. When I complained about it and brought it to the attention of whoever was present in the room, Mark stood up and canceled the last two meetings of that year and said he would reform Now, that means like the Reformation, that probably is a good thing, but I don't, in my heart, see any opportunity for that happening, because we are, what compels me to be here is not important enough for the group to show up. And it's important that there be a way to have the person that interviews a possible, what do you call it, an applicant, to do it in the sunlight, so that it's not his agenda or her agenda that gets accomplished. In other words, to freeze out the applicant, but to actually explore what the possibility that's there. So if this committee, I'm surprised you're all here today, as a matter of fact, because based on your record, it feels like a miracle that you all are here today.
Great.
Okay. Yes, Ken.
You know, normally we don't, we because of some of the problems we've had in the past, like I said, I have the distinction of being around a long time, and when in the past when we opened it up at one point to the public at large, there was a kind of a takeover, so and it got very difficult for us to say what the fine nuance of what the committee that was part of the HCPC was recommending versus what the public at large was demanding, because the public at large, there was not a consistent awareness on both parties' part of what the other were bringing forward. But one way or the other, what I would just like to say is what we found is that for whatever reason, there is difficulty getting this group of people who have multiple health issues, and I might use myself as an example, and Charles, if you don't mind, you, I just came from doctor's appointments and ongoing physical therapy because of concomitant kind of issues with aging and HIV. And I think, as was noted, Mark was correct. We are reformed, and that's why more of us are here, because those of us who feel so strongly were pushing that issue about either you care or you don't care. But we also have to bridge and be aware of some of the issues among our peer HIV-positive people who, by the very nature of this group, are usually what we call the unaffiliated group, who are not coming because they're tied to an agency, even though they're HIV, but with all due respect, but tied to this because they're committed to it. So I think it's just a good awareness for us to have before we start on who we are.
If I can indulge this, if we can start with that in just a minute, because I think that's a good springboard into what's happened as a result of the interviews that was done, the polling of the group. But if we can just get through the rest of the business. No. I think because I think that's exactly why we're all here, is that discussion. But if we can look over, and while we do not have consensus until TJ gets here, if we could look over the meetings from March, actually look over the agenda for today and make sure the agenda for today actually gets us where we want to be. And the agenda was created, by the way, from the input coming out of all the interviews that were done, the focus group was done, the one-on-one, so yes.
So just a clarification, when you say we don't have consensus, since this is the first meeting, are we judging consensus by people who said they were going to come?
We're judging consensus by the actual membership of this group.
So,
but since it's brand new, how is that? I guess I would just suggest that.
That's a very good point.
That
I think
this is
that you could actually, within agenda item 6, maybe even make a vote that this constitutes a new group with new memberships, so that you don't run into any kind of quorum challenges.
Right.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Because remember that since no one's assigned to be here, right, and it isn't tapped against your council requirements. So we can look over any changes or additions to the agenda for today. Are we okay with moving forward with that? And if you could look over the minutes from the 21st and see if there's anything missing or any.
Oh, God, it's a long time ago.
towards whether or not these reflect the meeting.
Well, I was present, so I did it.
I was present.
And I have nothing changed.
So, can I, if it's okay with the group, then we're going to put this in. If in fact we do have any procedure to be here to move this, it's recommended to be moved for approval. Okay with the group?
Yes.
Thank you. So, any announcements? I have one. On the 6th, which is this coming Tuesday, they're going to be having hearings with Board of Supervisors around that windfall of money that's just come in, that they keep finding all this money that's coming in, and they're actually specifically talking about reinvesting some of that money to deal with HIV and homeless, or housing and HIV. And so from 10 to 12, they're looking for individuals to please be in the board chambers to be able to speak on behalf of the issues of HIV, housing, and homelessness. Not necessarily all three, but the need for housing for people living with HIV as a critical gap in our services. So that's the 6th from
February.
So it's next week from 10 a.m. to noon in the board chambers. I'll send out a note to everyone, but it would be really good. So Dave?
I just wanted to remind people that the community engagement meeting that is going to be taking place next Wednesday will be where we determine targets for needs assessments and COLAs for the upcoming year. If you are not part of that committee, maybe think about showing up to help come up with a more rounded discussion around where we go next.
When was that again?
This next Wednesday.
Three o'clock.
I think it's the sixth.
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing for the Board of Supervisors is Wednesday, the 6th, not Tuesday. My bad. Mark, did you have an announcement?
Yeah, I just wanted to state for the record that the PLWH advocacy groups were canceled due to the steering committee's decision. Staff makes the announcement. Staff does not make the decision. For the record.
Thank you, Mark. So
you weaseled out of that one real sweetly.
Any other announcements? Any public comment?
I think we heard it already.
No, you didn't.
Well, I would ask that you be a little respectful.
I am
these
respectful.
People,
I am
what
respectful.
You just said to him.
Excuse me, we're not in an argument. You don't have any lines here. It's my turn.
Okay, Mr.
Thank
Evans,
you.
Please.
Okay, bring a cushion because you're going to be in that meeting a long time, and those chairs, the cushions on those chairs are worn out. Okay, I'm serious about that. And secondly, I don't believe a word of this.
Okay, great. So I actually want to establish a ground rule, please. I really want to establish a ground rule of respectful engagement in this meeting. And as facilitator, I will call out if I really think that people are actually moving to a place that is disrespectful or a violation of the basic agreement around listening, raising your hand, not judging, the whole package. I just want to make that one. It's never going to move on with the agenda. But Charles?
Just a clarification for the council member and people living with HIV. Council's policy is council member don't engage with public comments.
Yeah.
And we don't engage with it, period.
Right.
And it goes same with public. Public cannot be aggressive to the council member. It goes both ways, and we have that policy.
Great. So that's one of our ground rules that we will continue to enforce. Great.
And I will apologize for my outburst.
Thank you.
And I would also ask that we request public to wait until their
chairman.
Sure.
They will be our comments. So we're going to move then to agenda item number 6, which is the reason why we are here. One of the reasons that we thought about framing the icebreaker thing around what compels you to be here is and thought people were going to vote with their feet with this meeting. If people felt that this group needed to actually figure out a way to configure itself again, however that's going to be, that people would show up today. So if I could just sort of push a little summation out there, that it's very clear that we see the need. It's very clear that with the right sort of like integration of timing and agenda and focus that we have a point being here. We've got long-term, like people living with AIDS for quite a long period. We've got quite a cross-section of the Planning Council from the prevention to the care side, pre-integration, post-integration. And I will share that when I was at HRSA at the meeting in D.C., when we were meeting with, they had a thing where all the co-chairs and all the support staff and the HRSA project officers were all sort of scattered in this room. What every jurisdiction around that room was talking about, were the most difficult things they had was about recruitment and retention of council members. But then the other piece was around how do you recruit and retain people living with HIV. That was, I mean, it came up like, and nobody had any good ideas. Everyone actually had problems. Like all the clinic counselors identified the problems. But what we also heard is that places like Los Angeles, which have like a 55-70 person council, in Dallas, like all these places have these buckshot ideas that what we're experiencing is not unique to us. It's not endemic to San Francisco. It's happening across all the jurisdictions of their Title I planning council. So, and HRSA had no guidance except that we have the legislative mandate. So it's, I know that we're doing fine on our roles, but in terms of having a group where people think about coming together to talk about as people living with HIV, that is a whole independent issue from HRSA's requirement around us having people with HIV. So
I think a couple things we have to keep in the back of our mind is that, number one, in terms of the council itself, this group is not an official voting or a group that gets any kind of, I hate to use the word credit, but that's what it is, credit for attendance and meeting their expectations. So all of us here have already the commitment of being at four council meetings and once a month at also being at our committee meetings, and also some of us at work group meetings as well. So we have to factor all these things into play. Secondly, when we look at our statistics, and being a member of the CPG for the state, I see how well we do, if you will, on the very difficult job of having representation that crosses the boundaries of gender, race, ethnicity, all those things, and we seem to do that much better than others, and at times recognize the need to balance in one favor here and down here. I mean, there's no question that everybody realizes, like, some number like 70% or so of the constituencies that are served by CARE are white men. But at the same time, if we look at what we're seeing in the future, we're seeing the vast majority of new cases are not coming from that same group. And we recognize that we need to balance those two things and step down a bit on maybe white men and up a bit on persons of color, women, whatever. So we get a good mix. A good example of that would be something like Native American. If you look purely at percentages, that percentage wouldn't suggest one person. But we recognize the need and say, we will say one person is what we're aiming for. So I think we have to keep in mind all the nuances that go into this as we look forward and see how we can address some of the issues we have. Because I think those issues have had a factor in, as we said, why people don't show up at times. And I think we need to take an active role, not staff, but we need to take the active role in reaching to our colleagues and saying, either you care about this or you don't, and then maybe having some feedback on why it is they say that they can't come, short of us assuming they're not coming because they don't care, which I don't always agree.
Well, let me ask you, Colin, to put you on the spot. So if in fact we're able to figure out a meeting schedule that actually works, that complements your committee assignment that you have and your monthly meeting, but do you...
Point of order, I recognize the community member just made a subtle move to note where he was going to be. But the standard has always been we've asked the community to sit back from the table, and I don't want to get into verbal fisticuffs over this, but at some point, if we have an assertive member of the public, then we have to be assertive.
I don't want this to spin out of control. I'm sorry, you guys. It just feels like... Mr. Evans, would you please?
I was invited to join if there were seats at the table, right? Earlier, and that's why I moved up here.
And we started the meeting, and the invitation was.
Oh, that was. I didn't realize that once the meeting started, we were disinvited. Am I misunderstanding something?
Yes, you did misunderstand. Yes.
Well.
So I want to ask you if you would please join, please not sit at the table. And I'm not sure why we're going to engage in this sort of confrontation, but please. I mean, I'm not sure why you want to make this so confrontational. But please, I'm asking you, please.
I was operating on an invitation. I realize now that it was shallow.
Thank you. So, Ron, you go back. So, if we could factor in all those problems, you urinated that idea about us having some kind of a working group or ad hoc for the people to be waiting.
Well, I can speak for everybody. My schedule is pretty open. But I really think that a lot of our members, they found no need or interest in coming to our groups because they didn't know how to participate with it. I really think that we need to have, this group needs to really look at the members that are coming from the neighborhoods we're trying to reach, or the Democrat. So I think we should simplify what we speak of. I think we should make it more, you know, a lot of them come to the full council meeting going, okay, they hear this, they hear that. I'm sorry, but a lot of them have not had the opportunities to have the education that many of the providers have. A lot of them don't have the work history that they would be familiar with, you know, words. So I think that this meeting, I've always thought it was a place where we could, whatever the full council was going to vote on, that we would come together and dissect it in language that we could all understand and find engaging, rather than very more like, what does that mean in our language, in the way we talk? So is it about the scheduling? I don't know. I mean, each member has their own life and what they do. I really think it's more about, it's not that they can't make it on a Tuesday or Thursday. It's that they don't feel like they want to have to do this if there's something for them.
And I guess most, so I'm going to put you up, but for you, what would you need?
As a council member or co-chair?
No, not as a co-chair, just for us to have this table happening on a consistent basis, what would you need?
Oh, well, I would like to have more participation.
Okay.
Frequency of the meeting is not so important as the numbers of members that do come.
Dave?
So I just, what Ron was saying, I just sort of triggered some thoughts around what was told to me during when I interviewed people. And I didn't bring the summary with me because I sort of assumed that those people were going to be here today. I clearly should not have assumed anything. I think that when you started the meeting by saying, you know, we all agree that a group should continue, I think that is true. I think by and large the people who I spoke to, both before I reported to steering and then some of them sort of followed up with me later, people who I was not able to schedule appointments with, or just for whatever reason didn't talk to beforehand, followed up with me later. And it felt like that for those people who weren't attending, everybody felt like it was important to have representation. The question was, how often does the group need to meet? And then a lot of people spoke around having, not feeling like they needed it. So there were PLWH members who said, I think having a PLWH work group is important. I just don't feel like I need to be there, because for a spectrum of reasons, but largely because they felt like they were being well represented as individuals in committee or full council. It felt like there was some sort of differentiating between themselves and others around, like, well, these people maybe are less comfortable speaking out in full council, so they should go to PLWH. And so it was the perception was that it was a space for PLWH members who were not comfortable speaking in full council to have a place to sort of share their voice. I think that is one way to look at it, and this is part of the conversation that I had with people, was that, but did it not strengthen that voice to have all PLWH there to sort of get a true consensus, as opposed to just that group that some people, almost half, perceive to be sort of more in need of amplification of their voices in a larger group. So it was interesting. It wasn't that people felt like, it wasn't that everyone who said, I think it should continue, intended to go. I would say roughly half of the people who said it should continue had no intention of ever showing up, because they felt like it wasn't necessary for them as individuals. And I really did try and keep people to talk about just what they felt for themselves. But it's out there. So it does make it challenging. And then there was a lot of conversation around when it should take place and how frequent, but that's for later.
So listening to some of the feedback from Dave, I feel like, as is always the case, you know, they're digging deeper and deeper into where people are coming from, and maybe Dave can give us a little bit of this. I, too, have heard exactly what he said from some positive folks, but they tended to be positive folks who were working for an organization and not for those unaffiliated. And I think implicitly those people would be supportive of this group and at the same time would be more reserved about spending any more of their time than they already have in commitments. So I think we have to kind of bridge that as we look forward. And again, for me, that's a little bit about having this maybe one-on-one discussion between those of us here and those people who would meet this qualification to get a sense of whether, in some sense, whether we can give them a sense of how it is important to have their representation or their attendance or their involvement in this. And also, but just as a side, we also know because we combined, there has been a very subtle and open discussion, as it should be, about incorporating this not just to HIV positive individuals, but for that group that are receiving prevention services, who, you know, quite frankly, are consumers as well. So and there has been the argument from some of us to say, if you do that, you're watering down kind of the impact of those people who are dealing with and have dealt with the epidemic on a direct care kind of relationship from being able to give feedback around that specific experiences that they have had. So again, I beg indulgences, but I just think there are so many nuances in all this that we have to look at in coming up with this decision. And I am more than happy with whatever we come up with as long as we put forth our best effort, because I absolutely feel this is a critical component.
I remember when I joined the council many years ago as a council member, not as council staff. So it might be something that Ken and Charles actually recall. When Jack Newby was in my position, he was also a person living with HIV, and he noticed a lot of challenges with the PLWH advocacy group sort of restarting itself and himself being positive. He came up with an idea which was kind of controversial, but it did appear to work, which was to have not an official meeting. And that by not an official meeting, it meant that this group of PLWH would not be enough numbers to constitute, number one, quorum of the council, in which we if we did, that goes against Sunshine, and would not generate any agenda items. In fact, would not necessarily be discussing potential agenda items, but would rather be discussing their identity as PLWH council members. It was controversial because it was not a meeting. Like, there was no council staff other than Jack Newby present. It wasn't recorded. It wasn't a public meeting by any means. It was more, if anything, since I was not there,
it was more of a social.
And that did serve, as controversial as it might have been, it did actually serve to restart the group. And the group itself shifted away, and they stopped doing that because there was some, you know, people felt mixed feelings about that, but it did actually restart it. And I'm wondering if, based on what I feel like Ron and Dave are saying, if the committee might want to consider sort of thinking outside of the box, because it seems like people are kind of set in their impressions of the group and also in their perspective on why or why not they would actually ever come. Just something to consider.
Nothing to add, actually. I mean, I know my role here is not highly deferential. You know, you guys, this is a process question, essentially. I have too much respect for you all to pose mine.
Well, I remember when I first started coming to the PLWH group, we were meeting frequently because we had purpose. It was when we were doing our merge. I remember, Charles, you were co-chair, and we were P&P, the manual, everything like that. So there was reason for us to put our two cents in.